T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You wanna see loco?
Let's get loco. Let's get loco. The Loco Hour, brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Loco Hour, we are back in the studios. Yesterday, Twin Peaks. Friday, we were on Hollywood Beach. Happy to be back in the studios. The Jaron Williams fallout continues. I say fallout, I guess that would have a negative connotation. There's nothing negative about it, but there is reaction coming in from far and wide. Again, a little bit of a shock, and I think people are getting used to it, and people are going, okay, now I know who my quarterback is. Let's go.
Tate Martell's sister doesn't like it.
Nope, she does not like it. She does not like it. Who did I just see? I just saw a video of someone. It's on Twitter. I saw a video of someone at Kane's Media Day talking about they had seen Jaron Williams on the transfer portal. This is probably right after Tate Martell had come over here, where he was going to transfer. You know, they talked him out of it and whatnot, and they said, you know, you got to keep fighting and blah, blah, blah. And boom, August 24th, that dude is going to be under center for the University of Miami. So
that's one of those negatives of the transfer portal.
It's very quick.
Yeah, and you got to let things play out. Like when Tate came in, Jaron's like, oh, okay, well, maybe I should move somewhere. Bro, let it play out. Even if you're not – Tate left because he's insecure. Justin Fields at Ohio State hasn't played yet, but Tate said, oh, you brought him in, he's going to start over me. So insecure Tate ran down here, and Jaron was going to take the same approach, and they talked him into staying, and now he's a starting quarterback. Like that transfer portal, it can be fool's gold.
You know what? You're right. It's real quick. The NCAA seems to be given more waivers now than ever before when it comes to letting people play immediately.
And what, do you want to punish them?
Oh, I agree.
Like, let them play.
I agree.
If they can start, let them start. It doesn't matter.
I agree. But it does. It becomes this game changer where, you can make an emotional decision and then find out later, it was probably the wrong decision.
Think about how many girlfriends you run through. Oh, I love you. Wednesday. Friday, you don't love them anymore.
I mean, how many times do you want to quit your job in a moment? Oh, bleep them.
Yeah.
And that transfer portal is kind of that, you know, and so you have to exercise some sort of patience.
It's too easy of a divorce from your other school, and you can get married to another school the next day. The process of the transfer portal, I don't have a problem with it, but the process of it is way too fast for a 17, 18-year-old.
One of the better collegiate quarterbacks of all time, Brady Quinn, is going to join us today and talk about this. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, August 24th, that is a big old stage for someone who has never done this before.
And I want to ask Brady, because Brady started as a freshman.
Yep.
Brady walked right into Notre Dame, jumping into
Notre
that
Dame,
schedule.
Like, you want to talk about a high-profile football school, Notre Dame. I mean, that's probably the most high-profile college football program.
Oh, yeah. So now we can ask, like, what are the challenges? The biggest challenge is the starting. And this isn't Arkansas State. Now, I know y'all don't want to give the Gators too much credit
now.
No,
but that's for real. Like, it's not Savannah State. It's not Arkansas State. This is, I mean, it's a top 10 opponent right now. But even if it's not, anytime you're going to play Florida or Florida State, like, you got to have your big boy pants on.
And emotion has a lot to do with these in-state games. The emotion of in-state games, the emotion of playing, a top 10 team, preseason team. I understand. Don't get on me. But that emotion, being young, you have to see. I won't say be concerned, but you have to respect Jaron enough to understand he cannot get caught up in that.
Well, the Jaron Williams era has begun at the University of Miami. I hope it is great. Barry Jackson wrote in the Miami Herald some of the reaction from the announcement yesterday. Barry Jackson wrote, Among those obviously pleased by the news was William's father, Anthony, who shared his reaction while on a train Monday. "I think what Jaron was looking for is he wanted to compete. My hat's off to Coach Diaz," his dad, Anthony Williams, said by phone. "He created an environment where it's about competing. No matter what classification you're in, the best player will play. That's the message for all recruits. Jaron felt he didn't have an opportunity to compete last year. He felt otherwise this year. All he wanted was an opportunity to compete." And then Jaron Williams' father, Anthony, also said, "Very, very proud of Jaron. He's been very diligent in the offseason, working out, training. He really took the challenge and has always been about the team. In order to get the team better, he had to make himself better." And the dad said he was most impressed by his son's work ethic. "He would get up at 7 in the morning to train, come back home at 3 or 4. He not only worked on his body all offseason, but specifically worked on things that offensive coordinator Dan Enos wanted him to work on with his lower body. He was really committed." Williams did that work during both the time he spent in Miami and the time he spent in Atlanta, where his parents live. Also credit Williams for sticking around when Tate Martell transferred here. "He's fine." This is what Jaron Williams' father told Barry Jackson that day when Tate Martell transferred here. "He's committed to being there. It has never been an issue with competition with Jaron. The cream always rises to the top."
A little swag at the end. I liked it.
Don Bailey Jr., he said via phone to Barry Jackson what he's seen from Williams in practices and the two scrimmages the past couple of weeks, quote, "I never felt the guy ever got rattled. He's comfortable in his own skin and own position. There's a lot to be said for that. What I've seen in him is how much effort he put forth in the weight room and conditioning. He transformed his body and physique. He certainly looks more suited to take on college football this year than last year physically. I don't think anybody would ever question his arm. He's got an impressive arm. At the end of the day, he earned the job. He earned the trust of the coaches and the other players. Jaron throwing the football looked natural. He's more athletic than people have seen. He was recruited out of high school as a dual-threat quarterback. He definitely has mobility." Among those surprised by yesterday's news, Rivals national recruiting analyst Mike Farrell, "I'm a bit surprised because I was never a huge Jaron Williams guy in our rankings meetings," he wrote. "I thought he was a bit inconsistent. I felt he had progressed well between his junior and senior year in high school, but he was closer to his ceiling than Nikosi Perry and Tate Martell. I was always a big believer in Martell, and I'm surprised he didn't break through and win the job. Perry was a raw prospect that I liked a little bit more than Williams coming out. If you had asked me to guess the order Manny Diaz would come up with, it would have been Martell, Perry, and then Williams. There could be a revolving door at quarterback this season for Miami, but they obviously see a lot in Williams and are very confident in his abilities, so we'll see how the opener goes and take it from there."
How can you say a guy that's 20 years old at his ceiling, 19, he's a puppy. How old is Jaron, 19? Like, how can you say he's at his ceiling? That was ridiculous for that guy to say that.
I mean, that's what these high school analysts do, but how often are they wrong? I mean, honestly, look at, you know, guys that were recruited as five-star recruits. I mean, that's why that stuff is like, I mean, it's just so bogus. Like, you can have an educated opinion, but you have no idea. First of all, a lot of these guys, you can probably attest to it, get to college all of a sudden, the facilities and the instruction are so much greater than anything you've ever experienced before that somebody may have maxed out, you know, on what you think they can do, and then all of a sudden the coaching is at a different level, and the facilities and the workout facilities, they're at a different level.
I've told this story before, but not a lot. I was 2.5 star coming out. Can I contribute that back to my linebacker? And this is, now I'm not joking. This is true. It's going to sound funny, and it's 100% true. My linebacker coach was the school janitor.
Right.
Seriously.
I mean, that happens, you know, at a lot of high schools where it's guys playing two or three roles within a high school, and football's a sidelight.
Coach Woodall. So I'm listening to him on how to take on a guard, and he's sweeping up the floor when I walk from biology to gym class. Like, I don't –
Your mechanics. I'm guessing you, as much as you thought you knew about being a linebacker, you didn't know anything till you got to UF.
2002, I was under the janitor. 2003, I was getting coached by Charlie Strong.
Right.
Like, think about the jump I made through those 2 years, the janitor to Charlie Strong. Like, come on, sir. Don't say a guy's at his ceiling coming out of high school. If a guy's at his ceiling coming out of high school, he shouldn't be recruited. Like, that's the thing. That's ridiculous to say. Get in there. And I would have to say Jaren did not, and let's not taking shots, let's just evaluate it with, who was the quarterback coach last year? John Richt?
Yeah, it was Mark Richt's son.
And that was one of the criticisms of why Mark Richt needed to change his coaching staff. So Jaren was around John Richt, and now he's around Dan Enos, who was with Tua, who was with Hurt before he went and transferred to Oklahoma. Just think about the development from Rick's little boy who got the job because of his dad to Dan Enos. Now, you can't say the man was at his ceiling. That's crazy.
Gators head coach Dan Mullen, your guy, said this about Jaren Williams. They said Jaren Williams. Well, look at him. He hasn't played a lot. None of their guys have played a lot, so it's not like, let's go study this guy. I have no idea what Manny and Dan Enos are planning to do with the offense. He hasn't played a lot. I think we were recruiting him at Mississippi State. I knew about him. We know him a little bit, but that's a couple years ago. Sounds scurred to me.
Florida's just playing Florida.
Sounds scurred to you, Solana?
Florida's playing Florida.
Really scurred.
Yeah, that's
good. We can only beat ourselves.
Dan Mullen sounds scurred to me. Anyway, there's a lot of reaction coming in, obviously, to Jaren Williams being named the starting quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. We will get some reaction, like I said, from Brady Quinn in a few minutes. We'll do that. Let's get some headlines here from Alejandro Solana as we kick off our Tuesday.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
The Miami Dolphins are in Tampa holding joint practice sessions with the Buccaneers ahead of their preseason game this Friday, guys. And after practice today, Dolphins coach Brian Flores says Josh Rosen had an okay practice today, working mostly with that first unit. Flores also said Rosen needs to work on having better body language to lead his teammates.
You know what? That seems to be a little bit of a narrative that Brian Flores is creating on Josh Rosen. Because remember, it was a couple of weeks ago that we had some sound from Brian Flores, yeah. And he was saying, here's what I like about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you were saying he's given a playbook to Josh Rosen there. He's saying, here's what I like about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it was that same thing. It was the leadership stuff.
Bro, when you walk into a huddle, your emotion and your excitement about the next upcoming play is really contagious. Hey, guys, we're going to run a lead. That's not encouraging. Come on, baby, let's get downhill. You know, 33 lead. Like, it's big with that, and you can encourage your team. Quarterback's the only one. Quarterback and linebacker. Guy called in the huddle can really get a series going by his emotion.
What else you got there, Solana?
The Marlins kick off a 3-game series, Crowder, versus the L.A. Dodgers at Marlins Park tonight. Jordan Yamamoto, friend of the show, gets the nod tonight for Miami. And Antonio Brown has taken to Twitter and hopes someone will help him find a Shut Air Advantage adult large helmet that was manufactured in 2010 or after. In exchange for that helmet, he will trade a signed practice-worn Raiders helmet.
AB's annoying you?
Yeah, man.
God, bro, I can tell by the look on your face. AB is annoying you.
You done made all this money. You're one of the best receivers. AB's going to the Hall of Fame. Shut up about this damn helmet.
And, by the way, just have one of your guys find you the helmet. Like, bro, you got to go to Twitter. Like, he's really, like, I think the Hard Knocks thing, obviously, he knows the cameras are around. He was part of it for episode one, and now he's got to create kind of a storyline for himself. You know, they'll have to have a meeting, I'm sure they'll show on Hard Knocks, where is he really threatening to retire and stuff. Like, it's, you know, hey, me.
You get little boyed. Like, you know what? It's perfect. When a kid gets yelled at by his parents and then goes in his room, waits for the door to close and start cussing and screaming because he has to make up, you know, save face. This is him saving face. Oh, I lost the arbitration. I have to wear a helmet. Anybody have a helmet that I want to wear, I'll buy it from. Bro, just shut the hell up. I'm usually not on this side, but AB's getting on my damn nerves with this
right,
dumb
no,
helmet.
No, I get him wanting to wear the helmet. Okay, but if it's not allowed, it's not allowed. But then if they go, here's one that is allowed, just have somebody. I'm sure the Steelers are going to say, I'm sure the Raiders can find that helmet.
Let's find a Y.A. Tittle leather helmet and send it to him. Let him fight for that one.
Here you go, bro.
Leather, no face mask. You want that, AB?
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, guys, finally, a company called Maverick Swim just released a new men's bathing suit line that's totally see-through. They say you can wear something under it or, quote, just go for bare fun.
I don't get it. It's totally see-through? Like, what's it made out of? Saran
totally
wrap?
Totally see-through. But like, it's not saran
like
wrap.
Like mesh?
No, it's like a plastic, clear plastic That's said to be comfortable.
Like an old shower cap.
Right, exactly. It won't give you the little rash, though, because that can be uncomfortable, as all men know. But I'd just go bare fun.
You know, I wear the Speedos. My wife drags me to the nude beach.
We know. You've told us the story of you guys going to the nude beach.
Yeah, so as long as you don't hit that water, you know, you can see my little mammal toe.
Your little?
You want to call
little?
It.
Little? Emphasis on the little?
My mammal toe. But, yeah, I'm not getting in that water with no see-through on now.
Listen. I even saw when we were out on Hollywood Beach Friday, there was somebody up at the pool wearing one of these little banana hammocks. Come on, people. You know,
you got your pieces. You got to show them.
No, you don't.
The woman that's well endowed up top.
Yeah,
she wears the halter top.
That is fine.
The dude that got the baby leg.
No,
yep. Put on the banana hammock.
No,
what are you talking about? Yep, yep, I do. Got a baby frog leg.
This dude is walking around in sweatpants on the beach. Man, you should have. We were never able to get the Instagram video of Danny Rabinowitz, Hollywood. No, I think Zach sent that out, didn't he?
Tweeted
on Twitter.
It, yeah.
Zach sent that out on Twitter. Danny Rabinowitz, man, had the T-shirt, a jacket, and swim trunks, shoes. He was.
I'm not a T-shirt and the beach guy. But.
He was dressed more for like snow skiing.
He put on all his clothes.
No, I don't get that story. Anything else there, Solano? That's it.
That's it.
All right, there you go. Brady Quinn, he is a friend of the program. We love Brady Quinn. He is a college football analyst now, and this dude probably, I would guess, we haven't spoken with him, but can speak eloquently about what Jaren Williams is going to go through on August 24th. I also want to see if he agrees with the decision or not, right? I mean, yeah. Brady Quinn, he knows college football, and the dude lives here in South Florida, so he's very aware of what's going on there. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Brady Quinn on Hochman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco? Are you gonna be? Say that
she says she wants some Marvin Gaye, some Luther Vandross. You know, I don't know if Solana knows, but Brady Quinn's music is Nickelback. I didn't make you aware of that, Solana. Did you not know Brady Quinn? He likes to be introduced with some Nickelback.
I did not know that. It's weird because I have a strict no Nickelback policy on the show.
Right, and we thought we were goofing on him when we first started doing it, and then we found out he used to party with Nickelback. Because I mean, Brady Quinn's a rock star, and yeah, he used to party with Nickelback, and he will not allow Nickelback slander, by the way, on the show. So you take that somewhere else, Solana. You take that somewhere else.
Brady ain't no little dude either, Solana.
Yeah,
now,
no.
Don't try him.
Brady will take you down to Chinatown.
I don't know what that means.
Brady Quinn is one of the few people from Notre Dame I actually like. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist in 2006. He was a first-round draft choice by the Cleveland Browns. And now he is a broadcaster all over and a college football analyst all over the world of football. There's not a channel he's not on. I've seen him on Nat Geo doing a college football game.
Narrating a cheetah family.
And he's heavily involved in charitable endeavors as well with his Third and Goal Foundation. And he is with us now. Hello, Brady.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I got to tell you, this may be my last time calling in if there's not going to be better intro music.
Yeah.
But uh-oh. I think it was Jamie Foxx. Is that what we have? Is that what we're going with now?
Solana, I mean, he wanted his nickel back. He's calling you out. He's saying he might not ever come on the show again.
I mean, you don't like a little Kanye West, slow jams, Jamie Foxx, T-Pain, Brady?
No. This is the afternoon. We need a pick-me-up. This is the 2 o'clock hour on the East Coast. People need a pick-me-up right now. Come on now. That's a very, very, green, like young to this whole business move. You got to play something with a little more beat and a little more something to it.
Exactly. Teach him how it is, Brady. And Brady, obviously, because he works for large networks. I mean, he works with, you know, producers that have some experience and cachet. So don't dismiss him. I see the way you're dismissing him back there, Alejandro. Don't dismiss him like that.
I mean, Nickelback, Brady. Really? Like Nickelback? Okay.
There you go.
Okay,
wow.
Brady.
Hey, you heard there's history there. I don't know if you hung out with Kanye, all right, but when you hang out with Nickelback, you try to support the band.
He didn't hang out with Kanye,
that's
Brady.
Right.
Trust me.
And trust me, the parties with Nickelback and Brady Quinn were better than any party you've ever been to, Solana, even in your head. The greatest party you think you've been to is not as good as a Brady Quinn Nickelback party back in the day. Tell them, Brady Quinn.
It was good parties. A lot of really good hair. I have really good hair at this party.
Yeah, I guess I guess you've never been through Kendall, Florida, Brady. Huh?
Nobody wants to go there.
You know, he parties at the Dadeland Mall.
I think I drove through there once or twice.
You probably drove real fast.
Let's start with the Hurricanes. Brady Quinn is with us. Now, most of us thought it was going to be like a two-man battle between Tate Martell and Nikosi Perry for the starting QB position. And then it turns out Jaren Williams gets the job. Were you surprised when you heard that yesterday?
You know, I went to practice the other week, and I thought this was going to go one of two ways. Based on what I saw in the one practice that I was there, you really did come away saying Jaren Williams is the most talented passer. And given how young he is, you know, there's that thought that if no one's separating themselves, then go with the younger guy because he's going to have more of an opportunity to build. And I think he does have a lot of the raw tools you look for in a quarterback to be able to, you know, take those next steps. And it may not be this year, but I think this team's good enough they could still get to the ACC championship game even if he's not playing, you know, his best or up to where I think he's going to be capable of a year or two down the road. But he definitely came off as the most natural best passer with a lot of upside. But I really felt like because this team's in a position with their schedule and with that defense, how good it looked, I really felt like Nikosi was going to end up being the guy to start the season. Then if things didn't go well offensively, then maybe they'd go to Jaren Williams. But, you know, just from watching Tate Martell, and I don't really feel for the young man. He struggled that particular day. And I think obviously some of the things that have followed him from Ohio State, the issues with him being able to be an accurate passer and him being able to adapt to an offense kind of displayed themselves.
You talk about Tate, Brady. He transferred from Ohio State when Justin Fields transferred from Georgia to go up there. You know, I don't want to say run from the competition, but he saw the writing on the wall, and now he loses that quarterback battle, and he's a backup again. Should he transfer again? The transfer portal's there, Brady. Like, what does Tate Martell do from here moving forward? Just back up Jaren? Like, what should be his next step?
Well, that's the thing is I don't even know if he's going to be backing up Jaren. You know, he might be third string. And again, you know, I think anytime a quarterback transfers, you got to, you know, deal with a new system, adapt to a new culture, start over again. It's incredibly difficult to do. And so he could potentially go that route. I don't know that it would serve him well. If he wants to play, that's probably his best opportunity, unless, you know, either Jaren plays bad and Nikosi doesn't play as well, or some, you know, both guys get injured, something like that. But again, just looking at the situation, he may have been better off staying at Ohio State considering he had some built-in equity. And that's one thing that kind of bothers me, you know, just from, you know, again, and I played a lot in college, so I can't relate as much, but Matt Castle was a quarterback who I got close to playing in the NFL, and he didn't play at all in college. And he's had an incredibly successful NFL career, played a long time, has been to a Pro Bowl. So, you know, I think these young kids now, they're you know, unfortunately always looking for an opportunity and they're not patient enough to let themselves develop and maybe, you know, stick with their first decision with where they decided to go play football. And I don't think it's going to be, you know, impact college football as much as people think in future years. But I think some of these kids, when adversity strikes, they look to run. They really just need to look at trying to stay where they're at, continue to build, waiting for that opportunity.
And, Brady, you walked straight into Notre Dame starting. Like Jaren, you know, he was here a year but didn't get any playing time last year. What's going to be his biggest challenge? Because they're going to prepare him. Now he has, you know, a week and a half to get ready for the game. We know they're trying to prepare him. But then when he steps on that field against Florida, the only game on, you know, the 24th that night, like, what's his biggest challenge? Because you went through that your freshman year.
Yeah, speed. I mean, it's going to be the speed of the Gator defense. It's going to be the speed of, you know, that particular, you know, game, how fast this game's going to move for him now. And I don't know how you felt playing in, you know, first games of the season, but they were the worst to me. I hated the opening games. You never knew where you're going to get from the defense. I'm sure defensively, Channing, you felt the same from the offense. There was going to be something that you had prepared for, I hadn't seen, and then you got to just make adjustments on the sidelines and figure it out, right? And so those are the things that I think are going to be toughest for him, is dealing with the speed of that game, the intensity of that, and then also, you know, the adjustments that they're going to have to make throughout the course of the game, because you're always going to get a curveball anytime you're playing your opening game of the season.
Brady Quinn is with us. You know, it's not just an opening game, though. It is national TV, only game on. It's a rival, Florida. I mean, that's a huge stage. Do you ever remember what your opener was when you were a freshman? Was it a cupcake, or was it like a legit competition?
No, it was a good team. It was Washington State my freshman year. They were actually a top 25 ranked team then, and they were coming two Notre Dames. And I got in later on in the game for a pivotal drive. We actually ended up driving down the field, scoring a touchdown to take the game into overtime. I didn't throw one pass the entire drive. Literally, I go in the game. We have like four successful run plays. We're on like third and short. And so I used the hard count. We had a little quick play action pass and a quick throw to the flat. And so we use a hard count, snap the ball, go back, hit the guy in the flat. They blow the whistle. We got one of their guys to jump offside, so we got the automatic first down. And then the next play, I believe it was Julius Jones at the time, I think ran in for the score that helped, you know, put us into overtime and get the win. But I remember this. Everything I had been coached and taught and kind of worked on, the crowd, the 80,000 people there, all that kind of went to the wayside. Now I was able to kind of focus and dial in, even though I was just handing the football off. I did have to make a couple checks, but that's what Jaron's going to have to really, like, you know, basically do, is just revert back to his greatest form of training right now and not buy into the hype. Don't buy into the rivalry game and all that kind of stuff. Like that's all real. It's all there, but that's not part of his job or what he has to do in order for them to win.
And you're talking about the cupcakes, Hawk called it, the warm-up games, I call it. I think it's incredibly smart to schedule an Arkansas State or a Murray State first, because you get your guys, like you're saying, Brady, that first game is the toughest to get used to the speed, you know, saying used to the emotion and all that stuff. So you schedule a cupcake. UF is known for it, and we're proud of it. Do you have a problem with those cupcake games?
Wait, but they make it clear that this opener is not against a cupcake. Don't say UF is known for it when you know they're opening against Miami. I won't allow that, Brady.
That spread looks pretty big to me last time I checked. So.
Oh, knock it off. Need I remind you the last time Notre Dame stepped up against the University of Miami?
Are you throwing balls today?
Yeah. How's Wisconsin doing, by the way? Are they still running the ball down your guys' throat? Is that last how many years in a row, how many bowl games in a row have they done that?
Did Notre Dame do that? You're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
Della Reese. But the warm-up game, Brady, like a lot of people have a problem with that, or they're critical of that. I have no problem with teams doing that.
Well, the SEC gets away with it, or Florida gets away with it, because the conference is viewed as, you know, one of the best. I wouldn't say it is anymore. I think it's probably second to the Big Ten right now, at least as far as depth and overall teams that are ranked in the top 25. And, you know, the polls would tell you that. But I would rather them schedule it earlier in the year than I would them scheduling it later in the year. You know, I think when you look at sometimes, you know, teams like Alabama or LSU or whoever else you want to throw in the conversation, Auburn, for example, because traditionally I think Alabama and Auburn end up playing a cupcake the week before the Iron Bowl. And it's like, I couldn't imagine growing up as a kid from Columbus, Ohio, watching either Ohio State or Michigan have a cupcake game the week before they've got to play each other. Like, that to me is wrong. Look, if we want to be honest about how we want to go about picking the top four teams, or even if it expands to eight teams, let's be real. Every single team, if they're in a Power Five and they want to play a non-conference game, they need to play other Power Five opponents. Like, I'm sorry, like you shouldn't be able to have a level, you know, basis of comparison if you're not playing tougher non-conference games. And there's a lot of leagues that only play eight conference games instead of nine. There's some that play nine. And the crazy stat is, you can go back to 2000. You're not going to find a team that's won a national championship that's played more than eight conference games. They haven't. That additional game ends up being wearing. So, you know, because of that, look, I'd love to see more uniformity across all Power Five conferences to schedule legit non-conference opponents that are from other Power Five conferences, and then to have nine conference games. It's only fair that it's more of a level playing field, I think, amongst all the Power Five teams.
Brady Quinn is with us. Let me transition over the NFL here before we run out of time with you. You watch the Dolphins. You live down here. You saw Josh Rosen Thursday night, preseason game number one. You have any thoughts?
No, just because I think anything we're seeing from him is kind of the beginning. It's almost like he's starting over, like when he was with the Cardinals and he started his first preseason game. You know, I really do think he'll continue to build from where he's at. They're gonna need to take a look at him. You can't give up a second round pick and then keep him on the bench if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays, even if he plays well enough, because you want to see what you have in him before you address next year's draft. There's a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be coming out that people are going to be talking about, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert, just to name a couple. There's other guys who are going to be draft eligible, and look, to be quite honest with you, you know, there's going to be guys we don't know about that end up popping up, right? No one knew Kyler Murray was going to be the number one overall pick in this past year's draft, or even Baker Mayfield, you know, a couple years ago. People didn't know they were going to be the number one guy. So, you know, there's going to be some guys that we don't know about that we're going to hear about that the Dolphins are going to want to look at. And I think if you're going to spend a first-round pick, if you're going that route, you know, you better know what you have on your roster and Rosen. And you don't just waste a second-round pick for nothing. So, you know, again, I'm not looking for a ton out of these guys in preseason, because if I'm Chad O'Shea, their OC, I'm not showing a whole lot. Like, I've got the advantage of being a guy who comes from New England, so people have an idea of what I'm going to do. But don't make that mistake. I played for an offensive coordinator where, man, we looked all right in preseason, and then we got out there week one, and people are like, you guys are running the same stuff you were running in week two, three, and four of the preseason. Like, what's wrong with you guys? So, honestly, as long as guys are healthy, I could care less what they look like in preseason.
And one of the criticisms of Rosen, actually, Brady, I saw it, you know, in that first game against Atlanta, he seems to be a half a second too slow on his mental decisions. Like, his decision-making process is just a couple, you know, a half a second too slow. How hard is that for him to speed up at this point in his life?
I mean, to me, that wasn't something I saw last year from him in Arizona, and I think he just had a better grip on the offense. I mean, that's what that's about. You know, when you're unsure of things, you're gonna maybe think a little bit instead of just going out there and playing. And that half second is really what it looks like. So there's a little bit of a delay, or maybe there's an extra hitch in the pocket because he's not quite sure where the guy's going to be. So, again, we want to see results right away. But, you know, developing the chemistry that you need to at the NFL level, I mean, it takes time. I mean, you're throwing the ball long before these guys are out of the cuts or long before these guys are actually in those windows. And so it's difficult to get, you know, feel good about throwing some of those footballs unless you really have a lot of confidence that receiver's going to be where you think he's going to be. So, again, it's just going to be a work in progress, I think, until we start to see him play in some regular season games. And then even then, you know, it's still going to be a work in progress until he really starts to get his feet underneath himself and feel comfortable in the system.
Brady Quinn, quickly, before we run out here, Kyler Murray, you mentioned Arizona. We watched Kyler Murray. I hadn't really seen him against standing near NFL players. And we watched him run out of the tunnel. And it looked like, you know, they do like with soccer teams, they have a kid run out with whoever's playing on a national soccer team. Like, it was staggering to me just how little he is. Is he going to make it in the NFL?
I don't know. That's such a good question, and it's a tough one to answer, because I think he's elusive enough to avoid a lot of the big hits. But, I mean, eventually someone's going to find a way to get a hit on him. And he's going to have a hard time finding passing lanes. You know, that's going to be an issue. So, look, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year, because I have no idea what to expect. And they could get off to a hot start and fizzle out, or they might, it could be a disaster. I mean, honestly, who really knows? I do know this. If he does get hurt, I mean, this entire idea of, you know, hiring Cliff Kingsbury and drafting Kyler Murray to run the specific system, like, all that goes out the window. So it's going to be fascinating to see if he can stay healthy, because their entire season is weighing on that.
Brady, the Cowboys offered Dak Prescott $30 million a year. He said he wants 40. Is he worth that much money, or is he a product of a system with a great running back and an awesome offensive line?
Well, first off, I'm hearing reports that the actual Dallas Cowboys are the ones that put out there, leaked out there, that he asked for 40. And they're trying to get the media and the fans on the side of the team and saying that Dak and his agent are being greedy. So this is part of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I love in negotiations, because it's kind of brilliant on the Cowboys' part. But as far as what his worth is, look, if he's a franchise quarterback, then, yeah, he's worth whatever the next guy up is going to make. And people will take contests with that. But the bottom line is, that's just how economics work in the NFL. If you've got a need, right, if you need to go get some gas might be more expensive tomorrow than it is today, but you're still going out there and buying it. I mean, that's how it works for an NFL franchise. So, if, you know, I think he's done enough to make a strong case for why he should be paid, you know, somewhere in the $30 million mark. And it'll be interesting to see how they proceed with it, because there's a lot of things that kind of stand in the way of that particular deal getting done.
But, Bray, when you watch him play, you see a top five, because he'll be paid top five. You see a top five quarterback. I see a guy that lives off play action and just eats off the run game and bringing eight in the box.
Well, look, that may be the case. And maybe, look, if Zeke sits out the entire year, maybe he'll have the case to prove to you otherwise. But, you know, the game of football and playing and performance – versus the economics of it and how this all works, they're two different things. And so, again, you know, one stat I'll go back on and say, and you can look it up, go look at how many fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives he's had in his career. he's had a lot, man. And so those are situations when it's not an eight-man box. It's a two-minute drive, and he's got to lead his team down the field to win, and he's done that. So there's a lot of things you can look at stat-wise and to make a case for him. And there's some times where, you know, if we pick between him and Carson Wentz, I pick Carson Wentz because I think Carson Wentz has a higher ceiling than Dak does. But all that being said, Dak's been really successful against Carson head-to-head, and, you know, he's been healthier and he's had a ton of wins. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think people need to stop getting upset about what that number looks like, because as the salary cap goes up, these numbers are going to get astronomical in the ensuing years.
Brady Quinn, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was released today in 1982. I know you weren't born. You seen that movie, and does it hold up?
What do you got in that bag, Mitch? Was that a sixer? What do you got in there, man?
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is it?
That's not Fast Times?
I don't think so.
I didn't watch it.
I think you're thinking of like Clerks or something.
No, that's not Clerks. That's definitely not.
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Do you pretty remember?
Sure. Yeah, I know that movie line by line.
I was born. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. Somebody text in.
It was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
67974. Maybe you're right. You're talking about like the when he's wearing the Vans and he's got the bag of weed.
Bag of what? Bag of what?
No, I think he was referring to like a six-pack of beer at the time, Ark.
Say it again. Give me the line.
I think he said, well, what do you got in that bag, man? Was that a sixer or something like that?
I don't recall that line. There are so many great lines from Fast Times. That is not one of them. I'm going to say that it does not hold up in Brady Quinn's mind, because I don't think you can repeat a line from
a young Matthew McConaughey.
No.
What movie are we talking about?
No. Fast Times at Ridgemont High is Phoebe Cates and Sean Penn, Judge Reinhold.
What movie am I thinking of?
Forrest Whitaker.
You're probably thinking of a good movie, Brady.
Don't you dare blaspheme against Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I haven't seen Fast Times in a long time. I'm thinking of something else, yet.
Kenny Rogers Roasters. Remember the old restaurant, Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Oh, yeah.
Banger?
Why don't they bring that back?
Right? That place was a banger, right? That place was a banger?
Oh, there were ribs there?
Yeah.
Ribs were so good.
Talk about it.
But Brady, we found out yesterday.
Banger, yeah.
We found out yesterday they sold 156 franchises for $1 million. It couldn't be that much of a banger.
Yeah, well, they went out of business. I mean, it doesn't mean the food was bad. It was
Channing, you got to try it before you knock it, man. I'm
right.
You. I don't know what was wrong with their business plan, but that was some good food.
Yeah, and you know why, Brady? Is the wood that makes it good. Dazed and confused. Everyone is texting in. Dazed and confused. That's what you're thinking of.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking
of. Not Fast Times. All right, Brady Quinn. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Always enjoy talking with him. I could talk to him for an hour there. Brady Quinn, more Hockman and Crowder when we return.
You want to see Loco?
Come on. Come on.
This hour, the Loco Hour, brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. By the way, Riptide Music Festival, it is back. Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford, back on Fort Lauderdale Beach, November 23rd and 24th. You can stay tuned right here for all the info, including the big lineup release. Riptide, powered by Ford, November 23rd and 24th on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Very excited about that. Brady Quinn was excellent in the previous segment. A lot of people text in, when are you doing Cheers 2? You haven't done Cheers 2 in a couple of weeks. We usually do it on Tuesdays at this time. We still are unable to use the phones. Is that right, Solana?
Yes.
We had started doing it again when we were in the 560 studios. But since we had those lineup changes last week and now we're in the 790 studios and this is the Loco Hour, we have no functioning phone lines except for radio guests. So we will wait one more week. I was told probably by the end of this week. What day is today? Today's Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Yeah. Lost myself for a second. I started to think it was Wednesday. Hopefully by next week we'll be able to do Cheers 2. And are we banking all these Funky Buddha gift cards? Because then we can maybe have more than one winner at a time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Unless you're using them all and I just busted you.
No comment.
All right. So Cheers 2 hopefully will return next Tuesday. Or if the phones are functioning at the end of the week, we could do a special edition of that.
If they're not working by next week, Like, what should my course of action be? Like, just cause anarchy in our new studios? Or, like, what should I do?
They seem to have their hands full with other mm-hmm. stuff. So, because I want like, a microphone windscreen. Like, there was a sock on this thing a few days ago, and then I just saw one of our engineers, and I said, can I get a microphone sock? And he said, I don't know. And then, so I figured.
That's about the end of it?
Yeah, so, and that seemed like a pretty easy request. There's got to be a bin of them somewhere, right? I mean, you're telling me that it's easier to get Peruvian food in this building than a microphone windscreen? What the hell's going on here?
You can go pay yourself for Peruvian food. That windscreen needs
to be
provided.
I'll pay for the windscreen.
My cheers, too. Are you giving out windscreen?
My cheers, too, would have been to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, released in theaters this day, 1982. That movie was a banger then, is a banger now. That movie holds up. Yes, banger. And Brady Quinn was trying to reference a movie in the last segment. It was Dazed and Confused, not Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You've never seen it, or you have seen it?
No, I tried to watch it. It was terrible.
It is so good. I mean, honestly, one of the greatest movies, one of the greatest cinematic feats in the history of movie making.
Terrible.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And somebody else texts in, usually Hawk is wrong with these banger things, but I'm 35 years old and Kenny Rogers had the best chicken tenders I've ever had at a fast food joint.
You know what? That usually happens when they have the greatest of all time. They fold.
It really is odd because I made this case yesterday for Kenny Rogers Roasters, and then Steve Goldstein pointed out, he's like, yeah, you think your opinion is fact. And then I started to realize, well, A, yes, I do. But B, it's really hard to argue how great Kenny Rogers Roasters was when plenty of chicken places are still in business and they're not.
Hawk, Arby's has made it. Like, Arby's. Who goes to Arby's?
Someone likes roast beef.
Now,
I don't know
what I'm
who.
Saying. Like, if they didn't make it and Arby's made it, come on, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm telling you, the food was good. There had to be something else at play. Somebody was skimming something off the top. Food was good.
Kenny Rogers, probably.
Kenny Rogers.
I would say, if anybody had
no slander Kenny Rogers on this show.
If anybody had access to the bank accounts, it was Kenny.
Dare you. Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post, he just tweeted out, Brian Flores said, for now, yes, the plan is to start Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Bucs on Friday unless something changes. I still feel unless something dramatic changes, this is Joe Shad's opinion, I feel unless something dramatic changes, Fitz starts the season versus Baltimore. We've talked about this, my gut instinct is that based on the practices, Brian Flores is looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick as his starter. Now, I do think, hey, there's a couple weeks left and maybe Josh Rosen can really impress him and Ryan Fitzpatrick can look really bad. But I kind of feel it's leaning in that direction, too, especially with this news that Flores says he's going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick Friday against Tampa.
And that early bye week, man, that's really convincing me.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick starts and we have that 2 weeks to get ready. You throw Rosen in and then you see where you're at. You're playing you're coming out the box, four playoff teams, Ravens, San Diego, the Patriots, and somebody else slips my mind. But those four teams, I know the first four teams are playoff teams. See where you're at. We're all anticipating, you know, no success because of how the roster's put together. But see where you're at with Fitzpatrick. And if you're 1-3, you put Rosen in. And then that invigorates your fan base because now you have the new face. You have the backup guy jumping in. Like, I think that's the I 100% believe that's the plan. Rosen will start after the bye week and continue to start the rest of the year. And you have now 12 weeks to evaluate Rosen.
The first four games, it's at home versus Baltimore, at home versus New England, on the road at Dallas, and then at home versus San Diego.
Yeah, those are tough games. You're right. So if you want to kind of stack the deck in the favor of Josh Rosen, you already have a suspect offensive line. You want to give him the easiest road. You kind of keep him out of the equation for those four games. Let Ryan Fitzpatrick and a shoddy offensive line deal with that. Take the bye week. And like you said, it actually does inject a little bit of hope into a fan base that might be reeling. You know, if they're 1-3 or 0-4 or even 2-2, but they just don't look good or exciting. Yeah, you reinvigorate them by, yeah, we're going to Josh Rosen, and for the rest of the season, we're going to see what he has left. That would seem like where it's headed, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty well, like if you're, I said, one of the greatest movie scripts of all times, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but if you were making a movie script for the Dolphins season, that's kind of the way that you'd write it, I think, which is Fitzpatrick starts, Josh Rosen is the maybe heir apparent, he's waiting his turn, you get to the bye week, and then you announce that it's going to be Josh Rosen the remainder of the season, and then at least you have something to really sink your teeth into.
And on a side note about those four games, none of them are pushover defenses. Actually, the Ravens, San Diego, and New England are some of the top defenses in the league. Do you want to go out there and get Rosen sacked four or five times?
Right. I mean, you're really that, because then you know what happened. If you do it the reverse, if you start Josh Rosen for the season and it doesn't go well for the first four games, Dolphins fans are going to want to see some excitement. And they'll be calling for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yep. And then you're in a quandary. Then it's like, okay, so all we're going to see from Josh Rosen is the first four games before the team has had a chance to gel. It's the four toughest games of the season, and now we kind of have to make a change to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then, you know, he'll come in, it'll give you a couple exciting games, and then you got to roll with him. It actually, now that I think about it, there's two options. Josh Rosen starts the season, and you have to know in the back of your mind, we are letting him play all 16 games.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter how bad things get. We can't go to Ryan Fitzpatrick five games in. Or Ryan Fitzpatrick starts the season, and our plan is after the bye week, we'll go to Josh Rosen, turn the team over to him for the remainder of the season. And obviously, it depends on how a lot of stuff plays out in those first four games as well, too. I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick the first four games last season for Tampa, then you would stick with them because he'd be setting records.
But then you ride the train.
Yeah.
If he's going for 300 yards a game, four touchdowns, you're 3-1 after playing four playoff teams, hell, this roster's not as bad as we thought. Fitzpatrick's not as old as we thought. Flores figured this out. Chad O'Shea's a hell of an OC. Like, you ride that train. But if it's 1-3 or 0-4, yes, get the 37-year-old out. Get the 22-year-old in. Give him 12 games. That's enough of an evaluation period. And know that when you go into the draft next year, you got to get one of those big three quarterbacks, Tua, Fromm, or Herbert. That's the plan. I think they looked at the schedule, saw those first four games, and said, you know what? We need to bring in a vet to let him go against these good teams and then have our young puppy come on and jump in and see what he can do.
By the way, we can have this conversation 5 o'clock today. John Clayton from the Washington Post and ESPN Radio in Seattle is going to join us. So 5 o'clock today, John Clayton, the professor. We will talk some NFL football with him. The local story that has been covered ad nauseum since yesterday is Jaren Williams taking over the quarterback reins for the University of Miami. And Joe Zagacki is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour and talk about what he has seen at the scrimmages. You know, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., they've been there at the scrimmages. They've talked with Manny Diaz before and after each scrimmage. And now they're both complete with the knowledge of who the starting quarterback is going to be. And so now Joe and DBJ can start to prepare for their broadcasts and really look into Jaren Williams. He did play a few snaps in the Savannah State game last season is what I saw, but that was it. So we are talking about an introduction on the biggest stage in college football because it'll be the only game that week. So it's going to be a roller coaster, Canes fans, is my guess. A roller coaster.
It's good because if he shows out, you know you got one.
Yep.
But if he struggles, you can say, hey, it might have been too big for him first game. Let him develop. I think either way it's great that Jaren's getting in, and let's see what he got. Throw him in there. Throw him in the fire. Don't slowly bring guys up.
Well, we will find out in a few minutes from Joe Zagacki what he thinks. So the Loco Hour. You got your Loco Hour, Solana? Love the Loco Hour.
You want to see Loco?
We got Loco for an hour, but at the top of the hour here at 3 o'clock, we become Simulcast Nation. Take all the stations, Papa. Take all the stations, Papa. We take a quick break here before the 3 o'clock hour. When we come back, you can hear us not only on 790 The Ticket, but also 560 The Joe. So this 2 o'clock hour, that is the local hour. And then come 3 o'clock, we are simulcast because we take all the stations, Papa. We take all the stations, Papa. And at 3 o'clock, Joe Zagacki will join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.